Well, 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 it's another weekend with Nigeria Jollof Stories. I'm still your girl, your host, Guinevere Jones, and I'm not going anywhere. Trust me. First of all, an apology is in place. Sorry we were unable to publish for the past month. That's because me and some things happened and life happened, and I'm sorry. And not just me that's sorry, my team too is sorry. So we are all sorry. And my team could be my gadgets, myself, life, NEPA, Computer Village and Lagos. Like, we are all sorry for delaying this episode, so pardon us, really. We could buy a cupcake right now, but you know, we're just staying away because of the COVID and wearing a mask, washing our hands and taking our baths and all that stuff. So yeah, back to today's show. You are going to be on the show with me, with Daniel Itami, the host and initiator of the 20 something podcast. That said, do you know that the same time we are all talking about NSAS movement, our black brothers overseas are also saying the same thing too, but not about SAS this time, but the policemen, the brutality and whatnot. Is that not funny? Well, I just thought to mention, someone could actually think about it and sit down and, you know, really come out with some deep writings and equivocal speech and all that stuff about it. But yeah, it was really funny when I actually talking about a reception. But it's not to bring out the funny part about it, it's just to let you know that the world is changing, things are changing. And talking about change, today we'll be talking about the pop culture and its influence in our society. Ding! Yeah, without any further ado, let's head over to Daniel Itami and let's hear his perspective about it. Don't you go anywhere.
Pop culture has a huge negative influence on the societal formation of our African community. Would you agree? Joining me on today's episode is none other than Daniel Itami from Rivers, and he's based in the Federal Capital Territory of Nigeria, Abuja. He studied engineering in the University of Surrey in England, working full-time in an IT community, and he tutors secondary school students on mathematics, physics, and computer science. And also, he loves podcasting. Welcome on board, Daniel Itami. Thanks for joining me on today's episode.
Hey, hi. Thank you for having me. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very okay. The topic of today is pop culture has a huge negative influence on the societal formation in our African community. That's a statement, right? So the deal is, would you agree with that statement?
Yes, it does have a huge effect on society.
Okay, so negative, positive, or
what? It has. I think it's both. It has both a negative and a positive effect on society.
We'll dive right into that perspective of yours.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your podcast, the 20-something Experience. Tell me about it.
So the 20-something Experience podcast was kind of an idea that I had to support young adults and basically speak about the experiences that we all face, because we all go through like a lot. And one thing I found out is that it's actually pretty common. Like, there's nothing you've like gone through that somebody else somewhere else in the world hasn't. And that perspective now led me to kind of speak about all these stories that, you know what, a lot of us can relate. And I'm not trying to just reach Nigerians, it's like people in England, in America, in Canada, in Australia, in like Tanzania, like everywhere. Because ultimately, the thing about like the thing about being in your 20s, especially in today's world, is that there's so much pressure you put on yourself that, oh, you know, if you don't have a certain car, or you don't have a house, or you don't have this by 25, you're like failing at life. If you've not started a business, you're failing at life. If you're doing an internship and you're 25, you're failing at life. So I'm trying to reach young people across the world, not just in Nigeria, across different countries, because the experiences we have are very similar.
That's true.
And exactly. So the whole point of it is that I just tell these stories from people that I know and some people I don't know very well, that hopefully resonates with my listeners.
That's amazing. So what has been the most striking experience for you as a 20-something? By the way, I'm also a 20-something.
So I think for me, it was going to university, because I went to university in another country. So the learning curve about learning how they do things there, the good experiences and bad experiences that kind of teach you that, oh, shit, you're in a different country.
Oh,
and all of that. Okay. So it was from, yeah, you do, especially when at the beginning, because I didn't my start to life, there was a bit bumpy. So I couldn't fully settle until a few months. So you feel lonely those times. But when you settle in, it's okay, you feel a lot better. You make friends and all of that. So it's speaking about that kind of story about how I got into uni as an international student to hopefully help another international student and let them know that, you know what, it may start out rough, but it gets a lot better.
That's a beautiful one right there. But from my perspective, I always say 20-somethings is our life during the 20-somethings. It's not saying you're an adult. It's just a higher level of your teenage years. So you're still grappling. You're still finding out yourself, discovering things about yourself. And it's kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah.
It was scary for me at some point. And during that moment, that euphoria of you're an adult takes over. I can do whatever it is I want to do. I didn't have supervision. And I'm talking about 20-somethings outside African society, right?
Yeah.
The responsibility of I'm an adult, I can do whatever it is I want to do, you pay your own bills somehow. And it kicks in and it makes you feel like a god, a mini god over yourself. And that can really push your man to start making some wrong decisions that you necessarily wouldn't have if you were under someone. But coming from the African perspective, when are you 30, your mother is still seeing you as a child. You're still a baby. African parents are involved in their children's life from cradle to the dad.
Yeah, especially the girls.
Exactly. And those guys, and in our African society, guys are closer to the moms. And then you see them really running back to mommy when something is not happening. And when they don't do that, the mother feels like an outcast. And that's not the relationship dynamics is not really funny for some family settings. But for 20-something experience in an African society is still an advanced training experience.
Yeah.
The leash is not as tight as it would be when you were younger, but there's still a leash.
Yeah.
Your father can still use a belt on you. So I think it's going to be a very beautiful experience when you have different people from different cultural backgrounds talk about their experience. My 20-something
exactly
is a beautiful one. Maybe I'll share that with you on your show. But one thing I would like to tell people is when you're 20-something, don't get cocky. You're not an adult yet. You don't even know who you are yet. So things change. It's just an advanced learning curve of your teenage years. And that's what basically I would say. All right? So that's an incredible one. So how can people follow up on your show as they're listening to it now? It's already a beautiful topic. So how can they listen on your show? What can they do or not do? How can they get to you and follow and become...
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, so...
about how people get to you.
So you can follow the 20-something experience on Instagram at the 20-something experience. You can follow me at Dan, so Dan, DANN.TE. And where I basically post about the podcast and I post different episodes. And so those are the main places you can reach us. If you want to listen to the podcast, it's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, so on and so forth, and anchor.fm/the 20-something experience.
Wow, that's incredible. let's go back to pop culture, because first of all, podcasting is also part of pop culture, and what you're doing is informing the society about a certain kind of culture and putting people in relation with one another, sharing experience. That's all about culture, pop and culture. If, for those who don't understand what pop culture is, it's interpreted as a modern popular culture transmitted via the mass media and aimed particularly at younger people.
Yeah.
So it's practically what you watch on TV, what you listen on in the radio. You're podcasting, you're listening to, or you as a podcaster, you're part of the culture. And you're informing people about your perspective, your idea, what you think and what you don't think about issues that affect society, affect personal space, and so now the topic for today is pop culture as it is, which we've already just explained a little bit, has a huge negative influence on the societal formation of our African community. That's a statement made by a lecturer from the University of Lagos.
No, in the sense that there are lots of positive from popular culture. And when you say popular culture, you have to kind of choose where is the popular culture coming from, you know? If you're talking about popular culture from America, because a lot of the, cause pop culture, like I said, it's not just, oh, everyone is now dressing like this and is now talking like this. It's not just that. It's like pop culture, like, transcends even, like, it goes into religion, how people do church, how people relate with one another. So, and I feel like why I would disagree with that statement is purely because there's a lot of cultural driven mindsets in Nigeria. And because like popular culture doesn't really, ironically, doesn't actually follow any specific culture. Like in popular culture, you're not supposed to dobale when you meet like an adult and all of that. So, and in popular culture makes you question some of the little nuances, that we do nowadays. So I disagree because I feel like it's very close to 50-50 than it is like, oh, it's by far more negative than it is positive.
Okay, so your strong suit to support your claim is what?
So what kind of like makes me support what I say is because there are so many things we do nowadays that are picked up from popular culture. The whole concept of like, of social media and all of that, is embedded from popular culture. It's like what people are doing in the West. The whole, like, it might just be technology shift, but it's actually part of popular culture. What's culture? The things that you do, who your identity, and the pop part is because it's popular. And it's the things that are, a lot of the things that are done in the West that come down here that we eventually start to do. And some of it, obviously, some of it might come in the form of business. So we look at boats and Uber and all those things. The point I'm making is that there are a lot of positives that come from what we pick up, the inspiration for music, how people now are kind of braver in terms of making music moves, how Nigerian artists can, or African artists can partner with European and American artists to get bigger and access new markets, how, and vice versa, how the footballing culture entered Nigeria, because the football didn't start in Nigeria, you know, it started in in Greece or in England.
We had a game like football.
I mean, we did, but the point is that a lot of the things that we do now nowadays that's picked up now and we do and we don't even know, it's gotten from pop culture, the games that we play, the food that we eat is purely, is like very African. I won't say it, but like some of the food we eat in restaurants and things like that. So it's like, when you look at the whole landscape of popular culture, you cannot just, cause I feel like when people think pop culture, they immediately think of like bad music. They immediately think of bad films. They think about what you see on TV. But pop culture transcends television.
Beyond that, yes, it's like a social interaction. The way we are talking now, I can influence your thinking as well as you can influence mine.
Exactly.
And you're challenging my culture. I'm challenging yours. And for us to coexist together without in harmony, coexist together in harmony, we have to exchange culture. We have to understand each other. So from your perspective and from my perspective as well, I think that statement is not saying pop culture has no advantage in our society.
I think
the statement is saying, we understand that there's an advantage, but the negativity about it is higher in an African community. In general, it's just like it's specific to African community. The African community, the advantages and disadvantages in his perspective, according to the statement, is the negative is higher than the
positive.
So I have some three highlights here that are from the statement.
Yeah.
He's saying that pop culture has drastically influenced our identity as an African community.
Yeah.
Our moral standard as an African community. And lastly, our interpersonal relation as an African community. So those are three strong points of society.
Yeah.
And he's saying if you look into those three aspects, identity in general, and he went further to say our interpersonal relations with each other and our moral standing. That is like three major focal points in a society. And he's saying if you look into those ones, pop culture has done more harm
than good.
Yeah. So would you agree now, putting it in that perspective?
I mean, when you specify, I can agree for maybe the culture. So like, what was it for? I think there was interpersonal relationship, there was culture, and what was the other one?
There's interpersonal relation, there is moral standing.
Yeah.
And there is identity.
Okay, so I would say I can agree for identity. Moral standing, yes, I can say it. There's more negative than positive. But relationally, I'm on the fence with that one, but based on the context that you've given, I can understand why
he would say what
he would say what he said. But like I said, I feel like we're very like culturally driven. So some of the things that we do in Nigeria is not even like for example, I'll give like this is interpersonal relationships, like shaking or picking something or giving something your left hand. I've never understood why that is wrong, but it's our culture. You get. So if, like, for example, when, like, after spending some time in school, when I came back, like, I would do it without really thinking because nobody there cares. Like, it's not a crime. It's not a sin. You're just giving somebody something. But here, so the point I'm trying to make. Exactly, you get. And the point I'm trying to make all in all is that sometimes because we don't agree with it doesn't make it wrong. You know? And that's where like in interpersonal relations I'm like a bit on defense, but I can see I can see why like he would say that, and to a certain extent I do agree.
Okay, so let me share something with you about the left hand thing that you just raised at the moment. So from my place, I'm from Edo State, right? From the Asan part of Edo State.
Yeah.
If you use the left hand to give anything, it depicts three things. Either what you're doing is cursed or is a diabolical thing, right?
Yeah.
To be part of it. So you use your left hand. There's this belief of using your left hand is like removing yourself, right? From like abomination, something like that. So, you know, the left is always having this connotation of darkness, of black, of bad.
So
when you use left hand to do anything, it shows that. So when you take it to interpersonal relation and you use the left hand to give a junior something, they'll look at you twice before they take it from you.
And ask,
why the left hand?
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to use religion, left is hell, right is heaven. So they'll be like, why the left hand? So if you use it to relate to the elder, it's termed as an insult.
Yeah.
Either you're saying the person is cursed, that tiny little thing you just did, that they don't care in England. Mm-hmm. They care over here because it's like you're telling the person you're cursed. I don't want anything to do with you.
It's an unfortunate belief, but hey, people believe it, so.
But
because it's like
long culture,
and that's the thing, you know,
it has lots of stories and meat to it.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
And people who went to Evil Forest in those days of our 4444 forefathers, they do stuff with left. It's like a way of saying I'm not part of this evil, and it worked. Let's be honest, that system worked for them a lot. And they've transmitted it to our generation. So, I'm not justifying the left or right. I'm just trying to cultural standing.
Fair enough, anyway.
It's not just a thing someone just picked up somewhere and said, let's stop using left. There's a belief attached to it. And if you go through the African cultural setting, everything we do has a cultural or a diabolic or a mystical.
I feel like that's a problem within itself, but that's a conversation for another day.
No, seriously. It has a mythical connotation to everything we do in Africa.
Fam, like all these mythical cultural things occur on our head, the country is still not functioning, so I don't really I don't see what it's doing for us.
Nigeria, what are they doing?
Like, I don't really see.
Okay, like you said, that's a topic for another day. But in terms of identity, I think the African community has really lost their identity to a large extent, or maybe evolved into a mix of a non-cultural belief. So,
non-cultural belief.
For example, in those days growing up, when I get into a cab and I sit down, and an older person comes in, I was thought to get up for the older person to sit down.
Yeah.
But nowadays, that that doesn't happen. Let me tell you a story that happened in a public bus in Lagos State. So, you know, Lagos normally have a lot of persons standing and some people sitting. Mm-hmm. Some school kids get into the blue BRT and they sat down, right? I think the crowd was not much at the moment. The next bus stop, there were lots of crowds, a lot of persons entered. And you have both young, old, and all that. So the hostess was just saying, those students that sat down earlier, right, that they should get up for the older, advanced people in the bus to sit down. So those kids, they didn't get up. Somewhere, you know, they were doing this Yoruba kind of slang. I don't know how to speak Yoruba.
Yeah.
They were saying some Yoruba slangs that were funny. So people in the bus started laughing, like based on their reaction. And one of them were like, "Benny, no show," kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then it sparked a conversation in the bus. And then it became a quarrel where those people, some younger guys, they're not students, but they are young, maybe like us, 20s, in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
They're shouting at the kids to get up for the older ones to sit down. And the kids said, "Are you not young? Can't you stand up for the older ones?" So those guys were mouthy, yeah, but it showed me a kind of breakdown of our cultural belief or moral standings that we used to have.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the bus, I sat down. So when I saw the whole commotion, there was an older woman standing close to me. So I stood up for the older woman to sit down. And myself and some few other persons stood up, became an example for those kids. Right? But they just couldn't get why they should stand up for the older person to sit down. They felt they had the same rights, the same legs. They're paying the same. Okay, they're not paying the same fare though. It's cheaper for the students, but you get, they didn't just understand why.
Yeah.
They started singing some Malian kind of songs.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious that day. So I think with that example, it can illustrate a little bit what pop culture has done to the morality of African society. Because the older people in those days were tend to be vulnerable, as well as the younger people. But
yeah,
we're made to give more leeway, more respect to the older folks, because practically they are close to their grave one, to that's the last thing you can do for them. So, but these kids didn't get that. So would you not say that pop culture has hugely influenced the more...
I wouldn't blame pop culture. That's just home training. Like, that's just... It's because, this, if you think about it, who teaches you how to, like, how to be? Because that's not even... That is, like, decency. Like, if I was on a bus, no matter where I am, like, country or state or whatever, and an older person come, an older person or a pregnant woman or someone maybe that's a bit disabled comes in,
yeah,
my first instinct, if I'm paying attention to what's going on, is, oh, like, do you want to sit down? Because I can get up, you know, like, I don't think it even matters whether you're young. As long as you're younger than the person or you're stronger than the person, it's like, okay, like, oh, do you want to have a seat? Yes or no?
The person you're standing up for is ill or doesn't look...
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So it's like, that was, I would never ever credit that to pop culture. That is just training. That is like observation. That's just being a decent human being. And I don't think pop culture per se directly, like, it does influence that 100%, and it makes, like, it does influence that. And I can see why maybe that's like where you can say, okay, the kids are negatively influenced by that. But I think it's also home training. I feel like if your parents or your home, your friends or whatever, always kind of do the right thing and teach you how to be decent and nice and respectful to people, you wouldn't... So I feel like that's not just pop culture. Because one thing that pop culture gets blamed for a lot of, like, issues that we have is like, oh, the youth of Nigeria are not worried. They don't work. They just do Malian and they braid their hair and all of that. It's like, okay, fair enough. Those specific youths are affected by that culture and all of that, but that they don't even make a majority, they don't even dent the majority of youths. So it's like you want to use pop culture as an excuse to be blaming a specific societal group for something wrong that you're doing. And it's like, it doesn't work that way, because you have to look at all the facts. You have to, like, there's a breakdown in those kids' decency on the bus.
So you brought up something with that home training. Now, the people in the homes, are they not also affected by the culture?
Which is also true.
So they are also influenced by the pop culture. Or you don't,
which is exactly,
talk to them. Or you don't talk to them. Just let them be. They would evolve themselves. If you shout at them, you are going to make them mentally.
but you know, like I said, it is also backed up by, like, as a family, you do what works in your home training. You do what works for you, so you gauge the kind of child that you have. So some parents, obviously, how they teach, because one thing I know, especially when I hear, like, speak to my friends, that parents will parent you either exactly how they were parented. I don't know if that's a word. When they were growing up, or the opposite of how they were. So maybe they saw how their parents did it and they're like, they'll do it the same way. Or they saw their parents did it and they knew exactly not what to do and they're now doing it a different way. So it's not exactly pop culture. It is culture, but it's the culture in front of you. It's not what everyone is doing. It's not what is on television. It's not what is passed down via the social media or the media. It is just what is passed down from your culture, either your village, your environment, your family, generations past. So I would never credit that to just pop culture by definition. I think that's just like it's just within a close niche which is your family or your generation,
okay,
or your lineage.
You brought up something now. For us 20-somethings and teenagers, we are the most influenced by pop culture. So what would you say, whose influence is higher for us? Is it the pop culture or the things we hear from the home? That, because personally for me, I feel as a 20-something, there are some things I hear from my home I think is archaic. Not because I have more experience, but because I've been exposed to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say from your perspective now? Like, okay.
I think for me, definitely popular culture, because a lot of the things at home, by the time you're out in the world, especially by the time you're older, it's not just what is at home that you listen to. And when you're, especially in the internet generation, a lot of things that you Google, you research, you double check, you like, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, you're on LinkedIn, you're like going around, you're either traveling or going to work, encountering different people. So you have so many experiences that just take you away from home. So it's like, definitely we're far more influenced by pop culture.
So that brings me back to the statement of those kids in that bus. Would you really now say that there's no training? Because I'm not sure, but I want to believe that they had a better home training. But because they are exposed to something else, they are seeing someone being successful, doing the opposite of what they are being taught to do. And they decide to do that.
I mean, fair enough, Sha. Like, I feel like I've been back to a corner based on, like, my arguments. But I would say this, though. I don't think if you watch, like, unless maybe I can't even speak for something I don't watch, but I would say that as a fact, they may be influenced by pop culture, yes. But like I said, even though we're exposed to all these things, it's like if you look at the things you learn when you're like a kid, stick with you throughout your entire life than anything else you pick up, you get. So no matter, so which means that from your younger days, if you were like tight-lipped, if you were kind of like raised in your home with like either your family members, direct, indirect, whatever, and you are raised, let's just say you are raised right, you would, especially if you see, maybe the old person is someone that, okay, that actually needs to sit down, you would naturally get up whether or not you listen to. I don't think it's by listening to Naira Marley or by watching a specific thing or by reading a specific thing that suddenly now makes you, okay, you know what, I will not get up for this person if you are taught to write. That's what I just personally believe.
Okay. That is a wonderful one. Like you said, you've been backed into a corner. So let's move ahead. Let's talk about fashion, right? The African fashion has really evolved in a lot of ways and forms, and hugely owes that evolution to pop culture.
You're right.
Okay, so now, based on fashion, where did we get it wrong? Because the fashion we have now, right, has a lot negative impact to our identity and to our normal decency as a human being. For example, we see, have you ever walked on the street and you see a guy with a coat on, there's no singlet, there's nothing, he's bare chested. And sometimes they are so hairy and ugly. and they will have some chain around their necks and wearing a kind of, I don't know, but bizarre. Uh-huh. It's not bizarre, but I've seen it on TV too. But that trend. Then you see similar things or worse things on our females.
Uh-huh.
Like our females, they are practically naked. You don't need to take them into a place. So this evolution we see is not naturally our African culture. It has really evolved over time by the pop culture. So in that aspect, or in the aspect of fashion industry in an African society, do you think the negative is higher than the positive?
I would agree in the terms of some specific outfits that people are more likely to wear, like the trends that you see, okay, maybe if somebody's not wearing this specific top, which is maybe meant to be like a top you wear underneath another top. but people are now wearing it out to go out and all of that, specifically for women. And for men, obviously, you can look at things like sagging and, oh, sagging is a crime and all of that. I think that whole thing about sagging, I personally think, obviously, it's not nice. And it's not like you don't want to walk into an office or like a serious place, like dressed like that. But it's like doing Nigerians almost make it seem as if it's like a crime. It's really ridiculous. You have bigger problems than to worry about somebody's trousers. That's my personal opinion. But in the sense of like, cause like, if you look at it, African attire, you know, in and of itself, especially like some places, you know, a wrapper to cover like your breast area, then maybe like a short skirt or another wrapper to cover like your bottoms, like your belly and everything is showing.
Actually,
so it's like, exactly.
That was,
I mean,
a little bit,
yeah.
Africans and
yeah, exactly, you know. And obviously, I don't know the history of dressing and culture and all that, so I can't say much. But I would say, like I said, with the dressing as well, certain trends, yes, in pop culture negatively influences it, because now people are more likely to now, especially like in America, it's like some outfits is like maybe, I'll speak for the ladies because that's the one that's more common. I'm not saying that it's right anyway, but like, yeah, the ladies would wear like maybe like a bra and like jeans and like they'll step out, because in America that's just how it is. In Nigeria, there's a lot more condemnation, so you can't maybe easily wear that.
Well, if you do
exactly
that,
so already, there's a lot more condemnation. Regardless, so I think some trends, definitely pop culture, mm-hmm, doesn't help it, because the popular culture you're getting it from is like, it's from a society where like the backbone of that society isn't what the backbone of, let's just specify, Africa is, and it there's a clash, you know. Mm-hmm. But like I said, some of the outfits, like some of them are adapted from things that you probably, like if you go to a village, like some people are not always like, especially if you look at some of the historical attires that maybe they like, especially all these dances, you see that maybe we don't look at it like in a sexual way, but they are like their stomachs are exposed. You can see their thighs, like we can see the hands, like the men are like wearing just bottoms, or they're wearing like some shorts, so we can see their thighs, you can see their bodies. So it's like, exactly, they weren't sexualized, and that's where you can also say that, okay, popular culture has, exactly, you can say the way the trend of popular culture has brought kind of like you almost cannot, and I don't think it's just popular culture, I think also you as a human being, like, what's your morality, not your morality, but just kind of,
hello,
so I'll say popular culture has like brought in the kind of like the sexual view, so you almost like sexualize everything. But also, it's also like what you expose yourself to as a human being and how you keep your mind less perverted.
Yeah.
But obviously, everything that we see on TV, the new films that we watch, the things that we hear, a lot of it, because you know, at the end of the day, whether we like it or not, sex sells. And because it sells, when you look at certain things, you're almost like thinking, oh, what is going on under? Thankfully, like, and thing is that thankfully, as a human being, what you do is,
can I ask you, based on the statement you said, sex sells,
because
can I
it's like
my question?
Because it's
why?
It's it feeds into why lust, and lust, like, even the Bible says the lust is a very strong emotion or a strong feeling or whatever, and because of the nature of it, it's like, it's just, and the thing is that it keys into a part of our brain or our bodies that is like, there's a part of our body that, or brain, sorry, is either a neuron or a hormone, I don't know the name, that is linked with addiction. So, and that is where basically like the enjoyment from sex, relationship, drugs, alcohol, that addiction comes from. I cannot remember the name. I know it's not dopamine. I just cannot remember the name of what it is. And basically what it keys into is that it keys into that part of our brain that kind of wants more of it, that we like it because we like it. And you know, things that we like, things that we can't like we like things that are bad. Like we like even like not even as bad as sex, like naturally human nature is almost attracted to something that's bad. You want to break a law, you want to defy an order, you want to watch something that you're not supposed to be watching. So sex, as much as it is like it is as sex when it's done at the wrong time is wrong. And it's like even sex within it. So when we say sex, we almost think of it negatively. But sex is not a bad thing. It's God's idea. God created it, you get. But
yeah.
Exactly. And it's like it's almost like when you're younger, when someone says it's like, oh no, sex, and it's like it's not supposed to be so. And that's where you say popular culture has very much damaged it, because we've allowed, and also it's like this is where as a society you fight back. And how do you fight back? You almost it's like what black people did with nigger, the word nigger. You almost get the word back, you capture it back, you make it your own. And it's what you should do is like the religious society, the religious one, you know, sex is God's idea. So you now preach the message that saying sex isn't bad. You know, it is God's idea. It was made to reproduce. It's a beautiful thing. You know, like we talk about it like it's not perverse, but now if you say your parents, there's almost like, oh, it's a perverse thing, but it's not, is it? Do you get like, it's how we came. So, It's like, for me, anyway, going back to the topic, I think certain trends, which is true, because
pop culture is like, it's deep. It's really deep. And I think in terms of abuse, in terms of sexualizing the sexes of a man, woman.
Oh, definitely.
Culture has done 100% that. The little ones that are trying to come out to say, to change the narrative, they have been swallowed up by the wrong ones. And it's crazy. So yeah, what you're saying, I'm just supporting you. Like, you're not diverting from the topic. You're on it.
Definitely. And okay, also for abuse, I also think that with pop culture, but pop also, when people blame pop culture, blame, oh, it's the Americans, oh, it's the West, they are also, I feel like there's a you're avoiding the issue. Nobody can come and look at me and say abuse is caused by pop culture. That is not true. That is not. You can say things that like abuse is popularized, it is numbed down in the sense that it is made as if it is normal, or not just like sexual, mental, physical, things like that. It's almost made like, oh, not that it's meant to happen, but like, oh, it happens, you know. You can say that, okay, pop culture maybe like spreads the word on that, but at the same time, pop culture is also responsible for outing some issues, if not for pop culture in the sense of social media and connectivity. There's like, nobody will be talking about abuse the way we talk about it today. So it's like, when people want to blame pop culture, they forget that the very reason why we are so aware about certain things is because of pop culture. But at the same time, this pop culture is also the thing that spreads both negative and positive. Okay. And abuse did not start in it's been there. It's a, not heard growing up to now, before I was like active on the internet, I've been hearing about men beating up women, beating up women that they know, beating up their wives, beating up their sisters, beating up their mothers. I've been hearing about it. So it's like, it's not pop culture. We shouldn't blame pop culture. There's a problem with individuals.
So to say, it's like a highlighter. It shines more light to the defects that are already coexisting.
It's not because a lot of things pop culture does is exactly. It is far from. It's not responsible for the issue. It highlights what is wrong in society, and it also highlights what is kind of right, or what people are trying to do right in terms of raising a voice. It's like now with when COVID happened and everyone was stuck at home, there was a rise in sexual abuse, because now, yeah, you cannot run away from your abuser, yeah, at home with them 24/7. And you cannot come and say, oh, it's because I watched it, because maybe I watched a film, or because I listened to a music, or because the white man came and he showed us how to be. No, there's something inherently, because for me, but there's a line, if majority of people are not doing a specific thing, it means that minority of people, there's a different factor, in the sense that if there's 10 of us, if there are 10 couples, and 3 of them, or 5 of them, or 6 of them, are beating up their wives, as long as everybody's not doing it, it means there's a problem or there's a difference somewhere. And if, say, let's say we know the right thing is not beating up your wife, then 6 of them have a problem. You know, as a cause, it's like, obviously everyone will not do the same thing, but if a specific set of people are doing certain things, and in this case, it's not the majority of people that abuse their wives. Well, I hope it's not. I hope it's not. Then there is a problem.
Okay, so let me quickly interject there about abuse, right, and sexuality in African community based on the little research I have done. Okay, the African society shuns abuse and they shun whatever case of sexual immorality. Like from my place, if you're accused of rape or you're caught being raped, the penalty is death. You're killed, because they don't want. They'll say they'll kill the person and then they'll do some rituals.
And Africans are over spiritualizing things.
It should not be. We are spiritual facts. Beings. Well, like it or not, we are not physical. We are more spiritual than we are.
I think Africans do way too much
with spirituality than any other. So, I think we're doing way too much.
I'll give you that.
We can agree with that, right? It was in a community where you have a husband, your wife. You see that the community rise up for that woman. They separate the community. They take the man to the palace of the king, find out what's going on. That's where you see trading of the spouses blaming each other. And they will call the chief priest. I'm just saying based on my own culture now, right? Call the chief priest and they will do some, what's it called?
Yeah.
The gods. And find out, okay, among those two people, who's really saying the truth, right? Whoever that is caught lying, they punish the person, okay? And there were some cases in those times where the chief priest connived with the abuser, that, like, I'll give you a land, great chief priest, just make sure you, my wife, blah, 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 blah. And they do it, yeah? But the gods, so to speak, rise up to fight for the innocent. So maybe they will suffer for like 2 years, right? Then you just see that the persons, they are struck with one kind of stupid disease that they don't know where it's coming from. And another chief come and say, confess!
Yeah.
Those little things. So in those days, our African community actually have a standard point against abuse. And they had a very fatal punishment for those who are abusing. Especially when you're abusing a child. Oh, that's worse.
Yeah.
they would kill the person. They would exterminate the person's family from the community. Like, send them to exile. Then they'll cleanse the land. You know? I don't know what they do for the child, though. Right? There's no concrete. I don't have any concrete about how they help the child. But the people who are involved, himself or the girl or the boy, and the family, they are all punished. A huge punishment. So, and in those days, Africans value family. Family name. It's like money to them. They prefer to do stuff to hide their family name than to disgrace.
Yeah.
I don't know you get what I'm trying to say. But in this practical age that we are in, family name means nothing to us. And that has hugely, I would say, has impacted our identity. It doesn't mean anything to us anymore. So, if you want to talk about pop culture, I would disagree with you that pop culture is to be responsible, because before pop culture, before the trend of exchange, I know we had some extremists in our community in those days, right? Extremists in terms of spirituality, extremists in everything in African society. They were not as porous in terms of sexuality the way we have now as of then. In those days, young girls who are teenagers already growing breasts, they walk on the road without shirts. They were not sexualized, seen as sex objects. They actually protect those people, right? You see the guys, they're a certain kind of way you don't play with females. It's a cultural standing point. There are areas you don't see females there. There are areas you don't see males there. There are rivers designated for girls to go and bathe. And the same thing for the guys. And then they play as brothers and sisters. In those days, there's a brother and sister thing going on. Everybody's your sister. So, and then there's this community raising. Everybody's your father. Everybody's your mother. Community home training kind of thing. So if your father sees me doing something bad, he can beat me, and my dad will support him. And the same thing goes for you. There was this community thing that was going on, and it really protected our growth. But when, should I say religion? Pop culture came into the African setting.
Yeah.
I think it really diffused a lot of systems that worked for us in those days. So I agree with you on that point. Pop culture did not come to shine light on what was already happening. I think pop culture came to change or pervert what was already there. So people who see naked girls and nothing has happened to them because they feel they are not of age. They've not come of age to do all those things, right? Pop culture was like, hey, no, when you see a girl naked, this is how you're supposed to feel. So, say pop culture is to be blamed. That's my point.
Fair enough. I get what you mean.
I don't know. Okay, so. But what you're saying, you still don't agree with me.
I agree with you because of the historical points you bring. I feel like, based on from that angle, then definitely. I agree with what you're saying. So obviously I don't entirely agree, because I think it's easier to blame pop culture, but I do agree based on your points. They are very valid. Yeah.
I also cheating something. Let's talk about psychological defects in our society. You know, we now believe that people have mental disorders, which is really evident is true, right? But it's evident in African society, and it was not called mental disorder.
Yeah.
It was called possession. The person is possessed, and they will take them to the chief priest to do some sacrifices. And in those days, did it work or did it not work? It worked. It made sense. No, sorry. But let's be honest, did it not work? Those people who are mad, who they feel, okay, for example, let's talk about sexuality in terms of gender. If in days of our forefathers, I get up and say, Daddy, I don't feel like a woman anymore. I want to be a man. Guess just what's going to happen to me. So, they will take me to the chief priest, first of all. They will say a male spirit is in me. They want to cast it out. You get all of those things they will do. I'll come out and my brain will reset. I'll be a woman again. Do you get? And then, but now, they don't see it that way. Actually, people will support me for trying to change my sexuality.
Yeah.
Do you get? So, I feel pop culture has a lot to do against our cultural standing. So, yes, over-spirituality cannot be good sometimes, but I think it's a safer bet than making everything look physical. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
Based on that, I don't think it's just pop culture. Like, science, like, progress, you know, we understood how the brain works more. We cannot, like, almost because it's like a lot of people that are classified as mad. Once the, because the thing is that it's not every time that ritual or that thing that you did works. Do you get? So what happens? Because in Nigeria, there's no enough care for these people that have these mental defects. There's not enough. Like, there's no home. There's no home you can be put into. There's no care for them. It's like you're mad. You're just going to the street. It's not your fault. You know, your brain or your mindset or something has disconnected and you're suddenly unable. Maybe you're schizophrenic. You're seeing people that are not there. So it's like that lack of understanding. So if you're in a village and that happened to you, you're suddenly possessed. You could, like, I'm sure that somebody has been killed because, oh, they're a witch now, but they're not. Like, what happened may not, like, that's why I say over spiritualized, because it's not everybody that's mad that, oh, a spirit suddenly entered. Do you guess? Like a lot of people are bipolar. Like, a lot of people are walking around with bipolar disorders, but they don't know it. And you might almost go, what they call it, your entire life without knowing that, like, you are.
Mm-hmm. That's really true. That's true. I agree with you on that point. So thank you so much, Daniel Itomi, for being part of today's conversation. So the first thing we can agree on is that in terms of our history and cultural identity, pop culture has done more. Right? Okay, so what other, to crown it off, do you have any summary you have to talk about to summarize all of your points?
In summary, for me, what I would just say as for me, I would say is that I'll speak to a very specific set of people. If you have a religious background and your family believe in God, right? I think as long as whatever you do, whatever you believe is in agreement with what the word of God says, I think you're good. I don't think you should be worried about you should be too worried about the semantics and the cultural this, or I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't, because culture says. I think you shouldn't live your life in that kind of bubble. I think you should be open to a lot of other things as long as it's in line with what God wants. But with that said, you should also be respectful of culture. Don't kind of like, okay, because you as a person, you may not believe that you should like give things with your left hand. Sorry, you believe that, okay, giving things to your left hand is absolutely fine, like I do. If you're in a situation where people don't, it doesn't take anything away from you than to just kind of use your right hand and do that. Like, don't be that person that wants to cause commotion because you believe different. I feel like there's no point. Like, if you believe something and you're there, respect it. You in your own house.
Yeah. That's
exactly. In your own house, in your own space, you may do what you want, but again, another person's space, just respect it, and like, that's just it. But yeah, that's what I have to say.
Thank you.
No worries. No worries. Bye. Thank you.
That's really your opinion. And we couldn't address the topic today because we had other questions
Yeah, no worries.
So thank you guys for listening. You can follow them on social media at 20-something experience, and you can follow Daniel at dan.etv on Instagram.
Yep.
Hope you know the conversation about the pop culture and its influence is far from over. I really enjoyed talking to Daniel Itomi, and I trust you did too. If you want to be part of the conversation, just send us a message on Instagram at @NigeriaJollofPodcast or on Twitter at @Jollof_Nigeria, or just send us an email at NigeriaJollof@yahoo.com and we will get back to you. You want to be part of this show or you want the future? Just tell us and we'll get back to you. We'll schedule in our calendar. Trust us, we will do that. We want to hear from you. Remember, Nigel the Love Stories, we're still championing the end conspiracy of silence in our society. We are cooking up a lot of stuff coming out, and soon you're going to hear it and be part of it. If you want to be part of the volunteers for this campaign, just send us an email at nigeljolovestories and we will tell you how and when and where we'll meet and how you can be part of it. So we'll come your way next time, and hopefully with you on the show talking and sharing your perspective. Stay hooked, stay focused. I'm Christ. Bye now.